Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week, we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool? Is it shit? Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit? Welcome to the editor's meeting. Okay, so episode 7 of the Cool Shit Podcast. My name's Gareth. We have some guests with us today. Chris, you're back. How are you going?
I'm back. I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks for the callback.
Well, I mean, you were episode 1, so like...
The OG.
Yeah, exactly. You are the OG guest. And Shanice, how are you going?
I'm going well. I'm also back, in case we forgot.
I was going to say, there's two returning guests.
You are returning as well. Apologies. Again, like someone that's got a great podcast voice, so you're welcome back anytime. And someone that doesn't have a great podcast voice, some could say, or some could, I don't know.
Don't put yourself down, Gareth.
James, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Gareth. Well, you've kind of insulted me a bit, but I've got thick skin, so yeah, I'm doing all right, thank you.
Worth saying that you are the editor-in-chief of Cool Shit. That's correct, isn't it?
Yeah, aka Little Chief, which has kind of grown on me.
I saw that you had a note from our IT man. You said that you had to change something on your footer.
He's got a name. Call him Steve.
Big shout out to Steve.
He had to change my job title on my footer, and he offered to change it to the Little Chief, which I was tempted by but passed on.
Next what did you go for in the end?
My actual title. I wasn't the Lord of all the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky.
Lovely title. And it's worth noting, like, I'm not really happy about this. We're recording this podcast at 9:30 in the morning. Who records a podcast at 9:30 in the morning?
No, you're off tomorrow.
So, yeah, needs must. Okay, right. Well, how's it been in the land of cool shit this week?
Yeah, quite good, actually. I feel like we've had quite a lot of stuff. It hasn't been a week where there's, like, a load of stuff that's really obviously cool shit, but there's been a load of stuff that could be really shit or could be quite interesting, which is probably good for a podcast, so it'll be quite handy actually talking about it this week, because I haven't decided, we're doing it so early that I haven't already decided in advance what's going in anyway, regardless of what everyone says.
Today everything is in the balance. All right, well, go on then, jump in. What have you got?
Right, the big switch off. Anyone heard about this? So basically, or the big power off, I think it's got two names. So thousands of homes across the UK switched off their lights and unplugged their electrical appliances on Sunday just gone, in a protest against the rising energy costs. And now there's talk of this becoming like a weekly thing.
Yeah, so I saw a couple of people post about this. Do we know what the results were? Did it actually make an impact to the grid?
I'm not sure yet. Do you know, Shanice? You took a deep inhale there.
No, I have no idea, because I was very interested about this as well, having seen it at 10:10 after just switching my lights on Sunday. So I had no idea.
No solidarity.
I ruined it. Didn't know. It wasn't advertised well, in my opinion.
I saw it on a couple Instagram stories and stuff. There was that guy Danny fucking Price. That's where I kept seeing it. But I didn't really click on it, and then I didn't really take much interest in it, so it wasn't really sold to me. But then reading about it after the fact, I thought, oh, that is kind of noteworthy, actually.
So what is the power within turning off your power? Like, what happens?
It's meant to be that the diving energy consumption once a week and then causing kind of an overall dip could just draw attention to kind of the struggle of a load of people who aren't able to pay their bills. And You'd think if sort of the overall usage is dipping, then the powers that be might take notice of it and might do something about it. Is their hope?
I'm just seeing now that the National Grid said it made no notable difference, and that any other future events will cause no issues as well.
I feel like they're being a little bit sly with that.
No difference at all. I was like, oh, that's a bit rude.
I think, like, so energy bills are doubling, right? Like, more or less.
Yeah, they're ridiculous, yeah.
So I think that consumers trying to take some power back or finding a way to have a voice in this, I think that's important.
Well, that's the thing. Even if it doesn't make an enormous difference to kind of have an enormous effect on the grid, I think it's more kind of the symbolic impact of it and saying we're not fucking happy about this.
I mean, I would love it if it actually sort of picked up momentum. I think there's something cool about that. And also, just, you know,
if people did something that with that hour as well. I don't know, if people went out, just chatted to their neighbours a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like
ghost stories with a candle.
Exactly, all of that. Chris, any thoughts on this?
I had no idea this was happening. I was in Marseille.
I was watching TV, looking at my phone.
Blow dry my hair.
Okay. This is like a planned thing every week and it's all over social media, okay, we're going to do this at 10 p.m, we're going to do this at 9 p.m, are we not just going to ready the national grid for this proposed power out or blackout?
And then isn't they that
could,
sort of the point?
Engineers like ready to make sure that it doesn't like fuck anything up.
But it wouldn't fuck anything up, it's just the fact that it's not being used, therefore I think they'd supposedly be getting, the companies would be getting less money from it, was my understanding.
But the sudden drop of energy and then sudden increase again in 10-15 minutes, will that not potentially cause any issues?
So that is a thing that can cause sort of issues with the grid, and that's I think they did this in one of the Scandinavian countries a while back, and it affected the grid when they turned it off and they turned their stuff back on. So there is that sort of like, there's an anarchic edge to it again, which if it pulled off, I'd be like, yeah, go on, that's people power.
All right, well, the next one is on 7 p.m. April 16th, which is a Saturday.
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
Are you going to do it?
Absolutely fucking not.
You're the one that brought the story to the table.
Yeah, but I don't want to be part of a movement.
In the words of Groucho Marx,
I refuse to join any club that would have me as a member.
All right, go on. What else?
So Patrick Palmen is a crazy young boy who has had a microchip injected into his hand so that you can use his hand for contactless payment rather than a debit card. What do you think of that?
I think this is great. Like, I don't think I'd do it, but, and I do think it's probably the future, but like, as someone that loses their phone, their wallet, their keys, all of that, the idea that I would always be able to pay or have, you know, a form of payment, even if that payment might be bouncing, who knows, on me at all times that I can't lose. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, because I agree, because I go for a run sometimes and you think, you're halfway through and you think, oh shit, I need to buy milk, and you don't have anything on you. Whereas if you could just bop your hand on it, then you're sorted.
But I mean, like, obviously watches can come off and on, but isn't that what all the watches are for now?
Yeah, and that's
but
true.
I don't have a watch, but I do have a hand.
You do have a hand? For how long? What if they cut it off?
Yeah, fair.
That was my first thought. What, I always
what if
go
they cut your hand?
Yeah.
Is he going to Saudi Arabia and is he going to be stealing stuff soon? Yeah.
I'm sorry,
I needed a loaf of bread.
I'm sorry, I always go dark because I'm just like, okay, but what if someone robs me and now they're taking my whole arm? Like,
yeah, what if this becomes normalised?
It's a great movie script again.
That's a decent point though, that if you've got all of your money in your hand, are there going to be people going around chopping hands off? You'd hope they do it in a way where it has to still be like attached to your body in order to work. Would be
yeah, like hard. You need to have a beating heart.
A beating heart, exactly. That's becoming very dystopian
me.
Then.
Kidnapping is going to go through the roof. I'm sorry.
But, fair point. I said, but it's not like if somebody wants my debit card, if there's five blokes with machetes, I'm not going to fight them off while they take my debit card. I'm going to say, yeah, there you go.
Every time you go away, you're always giving people money by accident, aren't you? I wasn't mugged, it was an accident. I gave them my money by accident.
They were very polite.
Chris, what do you think of this?
I think it's weird, to be honest, and just, I don't know. So this guy, this is now his 32nd chip in total. He's got magnets in his fingertips. So no, man, like it's a bit...
Yeah, he's magnetic.
He's a self-described biohacker.
What I didn't like about this is that it says that every time he uses it, it's like someone pinching him.
No, that was just... No, that was just the...
The inserting of it.
The insert, because I thought the same thing, because I thought like...
I thought every time you pay...
No.
I thought that was a good incentive for me to save a little bit of money. Like, do I really want that?
No,
it's going to hurt.
No, because this is the thing, because I thought about the operation and... To have a chip put in your hand, it sounds quite dramatic. But it's literally just, and then it's in. He said, like, that was what just felt like someone pinching you.
So, are banks taking note of this? Is it going to be sort of rolled out sometime in the future?
I'm not sure. He said there's like a British Polish firm who are trying to make it catch on. So, I think we're probably a little ways off from it becoming sort of mainstream and common. But these things can move incredibly quickly. So. It could snowball.
Well adopted.
I ultimately think in the future this is the way we're going to be going. So within sort of like 20 years' time, it makes sense to basically be able to pay or do whatever you want without having to have extra things on you.
Yeah, but everyone always has their phone on them, right?
But in the future, it's going to be an AI.
I've been saying for a while, we're already cyborgs. It's just the technology happens to be outside of our body for now. Like, if you don't have your phone, it feels like you're missing a limb. So it's not an enormous step to think all of those little bits of kind of wearable technology will become part of your part of your body.
I think that's what will happen, yeah. I'm in agreement with you. We are going to integrate with tech pretty soon, and I think this is a good example of how it could work.
Well,
Doesn't mean you don't have to like it, though, Chris, because I can see that you don't.
I don't know. It's just a bit weird for me at this stage, but I don't know.
At 9:30 in the morning, I agree with you.
Exactly. What, even had a drink yet?
It's quite the contrast from all the people huddled around candles in their houses having turned their electricity off, this robot man walking around, bopping his hand on Tesco payment devices.
So, James, like, is this a cool shit story, or is this a...
It's weird. It's got the kind of freaky element to it, but I think it's noteworthy enough that I would put it in.
You love a bit of cyborg, a little bit of meta, a little bit of dystopian futures is what you sort of deal with a lot. You're kind of like the Black Mirror of newsletters.
Yeah, I like to delight and terrify the reader in equal measure.
On a nicer note, they are aiming these chips at people with disabilities. So that could be, you know, a nice option if they want to automatically open doors, you know, just to make life easier for them. Like, that could be a nice part of it.
There you go. Yeah, so based off of that alone, I think that's a good reason to include it. If I was reading Cool Shit, I think I'd want to know about these people going around paying for stuff with their hands.
Be handy, right?
There you go, yeah.
Anything else that we want to talk about? Actually, Shanice.
Hello.
Did you bring anything to the table this week?
So, Iceland are going to cut the price of its vegetables to 1p.
Okay, good. We're talking about Iceland the supermarket and not Iceland the country. Just so I'm clear.
Iceland the supermarket, not country, although they could be doing that, are going to slash the prices of their vegetables to 1p for this week. I'm guessing this is probably in response to Easter. It's the time of giving, but also in response to I don't know if it's for the
cost of living crisis. Which again is the same as the first story.
Yeah. And as reading this, I had two minds of it. At first, I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, a good way for everyone to get their vegetables, be healthier. You know, it's good for kids on, like, Easter break, etc. However, this is only an online offer. So, again, if a lot of people are in poverty and they want to pay for something with 1p, are they all going to have internet in their houses to, like, pay for this on, like, another hand? Like, why is this not in stores as opposed to online is my question.
So that is a good question. Why do we think it is on sort of like online only?
Don't know. How much is the delivery fee?
That's what I mean. Because like you make a decent point, right? Because like you're like you get excited, like yay, 1p vegetables. That's going to help me out for like my meal planning this week and whatever. And then you're like, oh, wait a second, I've got to order it. How many 1p vegetables do I need to order before I cross the threshold of free delivery?
Yeah, because I didn't think about that as well. Because there's an Iceland right outside, well, mine and Chris's local
tube
station.
I even did an Uber Eats order yesterday, and I didn't get any 1p veg.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. I thought, like, oh, I might pop in there
after
work.
You did an Uber Eats to Iceland?
Yeah.
Wait, let's find out. I want to know what Chris had. What, Chris, what did you what
he lives
need?
Right next to it.
But I was given, like, 50% off, so of course I'm going to...
That's a businessman.
Exactly.
You're given 50% off, but you didn't get any 1p vegetables.
No, it wasn't on the app.
Not too business.
So... it must just be an Iceland only.
But you've got to enter a code.
Right, okay. Very exclusive.
So when did you do your order?
Literally yesterday.
Oh, we should have recorded this yesterday. Sorry, mate. You would have saved a load
the
of money.
The offer's on till tomorrow, so okay. Go for it until 11 p.m. But guys, I have just found that you have to pay £35 in order for to make the order.
Okay, so imagine £35 worth of 1p vegetables.
Yeah,
I can't even do the maths on that. Is that
yours?
Genuinely, the number's so enormous that my tiny mind can't even wrap my head around what that equates to. But you'd have to order a lot of Brussels sprouts.
You would. And at this point, you're going to be getting, okay, a few veggies, but then you're going to have to probably buy, like, the normal sweets, crisps.
Well, hang on. So if it costs
PGIs that Iceland sells,
if it costs £1, that'd be £35. Therefore, if it was 10p, that's 300. So you'd have to order 3,500 vegetables in order to qualify for the deal. That can't be right.
Yeah, but I think Shanice's point is good that, you know, people are going through a cost of living crisis, and if someone sees this, it could give them a lot of hope. And then to see that you've got to then order it through their online service, then plus spend over £35. It kind of defeats the
Well, it doesn't with Iceland because a lot of it's frozen. So that £35 could last you a really long time as well.
It does go far.
It could,
it does
go far. I've got frozen
Greg sausage rolls for weeks.
Is this a brand deal, Chris?
It is, honestly.
Chris, I never knew you were such an Iceland fan.
Yeah. But, so if you are on Universal Credit and you have to pay this £35 for shopping, yes, it could last long, but how much... are you getting, how much are you saving at the end? Like, are you not using most of your Universal Credit on Iceland at this stage?
Well, how much is Universal Credit a week?
If you're single and under 25, it's £265 a month.
So what's that, like £55? £52.50 a week.
Whew. Yeah. Oh, wait, listen, going back to whether this is cool shit or not, like, I think what Iceland have done here is they've raised a point about, you know, as you said, whether it's Easter or whether it's about the cost of living crisis, they've got something that sounds on the face of it like a brilliant offer. But when you dig into it a little bit deeper, it's not quite accessible enough. So for me, that's why I don't like the story.
The fact that it isn't that accessible makes it seem like they're slightly doing it to kind of fluff their own feathers. And it's a good bit of PR that doesn't actually have that great an impact. But... I'm on the fence with it because I do love a bog.
It's true. I do love a yellow label. For everyone unaware, it was National Burrito Day last week.
I was unaware. Wow. I can't believe I missed it.
I didn't get you a card.
I cannot believe I missed it again.
God. Well, April the 7th, put it in for next year.
Okay, cool.
But so Chipotle were doing something I thought was pretty cool. So they teamed up with Roblox. I don't think it's the first time they've done this, but basically you can play these mini games, you can earn burrito bucks, and with those burrito bucks, you can exchange that for a real life burrito.
Fair.
Okay.
It's a pretty good deal.
It is.
I feel like I'm not going to be good on this because I don't like burritos, so I'm going to sit out.
I actually kind of agree. I'm always disappointed by a burrito, and it kind of gets to the end and it all falls apart. It's very full.
You need a good burrito, man.
And it's just not for me. But you guys go for it. Burritos, go.
Why aren't you a fan of burritos?
Why don't you like burritos?
They're hard not to like.
Everything you need.
Do you not like any of the constituent parts, or do you just dislike the sum of all those parts? So it's got like what, rice, beans, cheese, sour cream.
Yeah, is there something in there that's niggling you about a burrito? Like, no, I don't like you.
I don't like beans, but
can I have a no bean burrito, please?
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. All these are lovely.
No frijoles, señor.
Yeah. It's everything mixed together. It's just like, I don't know. Are
you one of those eaters that has everything individually?
I can be. I'm warming up to wraps, but that took me years.
You're warming up to wraps after lifetime. I'm warming up to wraps.
Yes, I've finally made adulthood. A burrito
is kind of like somebody's eaten a delicious meal, then vomited it into a tortilla wrap and then wrapped it up for you, though. Because I know what you mean about it all being mixed together. There's so much in it that you don't enjoy any of the individual bits. It just becomes a kind of mess of food.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of point of a burrito, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I do quite like them, actually.
Whose side are you on?
I don't know. I'm Jimmy Flip-Flop.
I could imagine you in the 1950s with one of those little plates where everything's separated nicely. Like, there's my like wilted broccoli there.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Good times.
Sorry, Chris, I'm distracted from your story.
But I thought it was pretty cool.
So what is the deal with it? So like, just explain the deal to me one more time. Like, what?
So for National Burrito Day, Chipotle and Roblox did a collab, so you could basically go into some Chipotle metaverse type thing, play Roblox, make burritos virtually, earn burrito bucks, exchange them for virtual items, and then also exchange that for a real life burrito.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
It's not bad, to be fair, because especially considering, because Roblox is massive, isn't it?
It is.
And Chipotle is pretty massive as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's not one of those collaborations where you think, why are they working together? Because it's specifically about making a burrito in Roblox and then you get something out of it. So, yeah. And also, a lot of the metaverse stuff, you don't get anything tangible. It exists in the Web3 ether, whereas this, you get a lovely burrito.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, and then also I think that they've hit upon something, because kind of people like evangelize about sort of burritos and sort of Mexican food, don't they? So they kind of pick the right thing for people to kind of get involved in, that it feels just the right edge of like not being totally corporate and in your face, it feels like, actually, do you know what? Like, there are massive burrito fans out there, and this is going to do them a day's fun.
Well, it feels quite throwaway, which is quite nice. Like, they're not really drumrolling it. Like, look at this amazing thing that we're doing. It's like, just play a game, get a burrito. Like, it's a very kind of
just a one-off for National Burrito Day.
Look at Chrissy, so cool. Yeah. I just come in. I've got my burrito story. It's definitely going in. Well, I don't know, James. Does burritos...
It's piqued my interest.
It's piqued your interest, has it?
I think I'd prefer a free burrito than a 1p piece of broccoli. So...
It's not a piece, it's a pack.
A pack of broccoli, yeah. A pack of broccoli, okay.
All right, anyway, listen, let's move on. I've got a story here that is about a notebook of Charles Darwin. So famously the man that created the evolution theory. But... there was a notepad that he had where he had sort of like jotted down notes, thoughts, poems, and it was in a Cambridge University library, and it went missing for 20 years. The weird thing is that it's come back, and the staff there sort of like put out messages that they would really like an amnesty, and whoever's got it, could they bring it back? And then it arrived back with a note that just said, "Librarian, happy Easter, kiss." So, first of all, I don't condone stealing, but I do condone, if you are a steely McStealer, give it back. So there's part of me that's like, all right, well, this person took 20 years. That was a long decision, right? They must have been holding something, which is like, you know, it's a very sought after artifact. And for 20 years, they were just basically doing what with it? I don't know. Had it under their bed. Like, who knows? It's kind of weird, right? But I think that they were probably young when they stole it and then sort of thought probably as they approached 38, what the fuck am I doing? Why have I got Charles Darwin's notepads? And why am I going to keep it when we should be giving that back for the world? Thoughts, James?
Fine, I did it. I rate it. Does it count as stealing if you give it back, even if it's 20 years later?
I mean, it's just the process. Borrowed? It's part of the process. Just trust the process,
right? You borrowed without consent, yeah. I like it, because I like the mystery element, because I feel like with this, if you were the person who stole it, like, you'd almost want... you'd want your credit, so he's giving it back, or she, or they, or whatever, has given it back anonymously, which I quite like, just saying, happy Easter.
Whatever's not a pronoun yet that I've heard, but, I mean if they throw it into the mix, then cool. I think it's... For some reason, it's quite a warm story, isn't it? When stealing turns nice, right?
Well, this is the thing. And the librarian was obviously delighted to get it back. But the Cambridgeshire police are like still investigating it. And it's like, oh, just let it go. You got it back. It's a nice story. Don't worry about the crimes.
Yeah.
I suppose it's Cambridgeshire police. They probably haven't got much to do, have they?
I think, they would love that, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. They got a job. They'll just sit around eating donuts, yeah.
Anyone else, Shanice? Did you like this story? Were you a fan?
I think it's kind of cool. I think it could make like a cool like Netflix series. I feel like they would do something
it's
like
very
that.
Nicolas
like,
Cage.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage is like the thief, yeah. 20 years later. But no, I think it's like interesting. It's nice that they got the books back and that they were in a good condition, because that would have been like artifacts if it was ruined. Like, I think so.
Chris, I'm lobbying you. Would that go?
Definitely cool, man. I mean, it's mysterious as hell.
Yeah.
Right?
It's got a bit of Harry Potter to it. It's in Cambridge. There's like,
yeah.
It's like, it's a right misdemeanor.
Do we think the notebook may have changed hands in these past 20 years?
Quite possibly, mm-hmm. Yeah. I did think that. Would it be the same person? Because I don't know, how old would they have been when they, well, I guess.
It could be like someone that was being a bit of a dick and then their partner, because 20 years ago. So that
you
could
have been 20 when you stole it.
You'd been 20 when you stole it. So the person's now 40. It could be like someone's like partner, like someone's wife or whatever, that's been like, you're such a dickhead. I'm just going to go and give it back. I can't believe you got it.
But if I did steal it, I don't think I'd let someone else borrow it. So I'd like to think it's been with one person this whole time, the mystery man or woman.
And I'm going to go with the wife thing, but just because it came back in a pink gift bag, so maybe she was like, you know, just put it in this.
There we go. We've sold another one. We've solved another one.
They gift wrapped it.
Yeah. What if, though, they've just spent the last 20 years perfectly frauding the entire notebook, and they've handed a fake one back?
Oh.
Doesn't seem worth it.
I mean, exactly. They already got away with it.
I was going to say,
they go back in the
Yeah, they'd probably give it up. If anything, they just kind of reopened the case. But maybe yeah, this is exactly. The, maybe this is how they get off. This is the sick twisted games.
All right, James. We've had some good stories, I reckon, this week. What are you thinking? What's making it in? We've got Shanice's vegetables from Iceland. We've got Chris's burrito story. We've got. My Charles Darwin return of the Notebook story. What are you thinking?
The Notebook unquestionably makes it in. It's an absolute no-brainer. It's got mystery, it's got jeopardy, it's got the lot. I'm in. And then I guess if I had to choose between the other two, on the surface of it, I think I probably would have gone Iceland, but I think there were enough holes that we found in it that I'd be drawn towards the burrito.
Okay, I mean, I think I back you on that. I think that was a.
Which isn't it, it's not a guarantee that it's going in, but that's where I'm leaning.
Well, it's an Easter special, isn't it? We'll have to wait and see. All right. Well, listen. Thanks very much, guys, for doing a 9:30 podcast. It is just gone past 10 now, so we can all go and live our lives happily. James, am I going to see you next week?
If you want.
I meant about the podcast, but...
Oh, right. Yeah. I just wanted to go for a beer. Yeah, sure. I'll be here. I never leave.
All right. Nice one. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.